This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an arts stroll, conversation with an Emmy Award-winning actress, or feel like stepping into a virtual record store, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The first Saturday in October kicks off Art for Art's Sake, a citywide celebration of the visual arts that attracts art lovers from around the globe to the Crescent City. The Warehouse Arts District will be ground zero for the event, which was created by the CAC, Contemporary Arts Center, more than 30 years ago. CAC Communications Director Lindsay Ross.
So this is the time for all the galleries to pick their most exciting exhibitions of the year and know that everyone will hit the streets and see what they have to offer. There are citywide gallery openings from Julia Street to Magazine Street to the French Quarter and Uptown.
Ross says maps will be available highlighting openings at galleries all over the city. In the Warehouse Arts District, the focus is on activities both inside and outside the galleries.
Well, the Julia Street Block Party is the center of the New Orleans Arts District activities, and that's from 6 to 9, and that goes from the 3 to 600 blocks of Julia Street. And about 20 museums and galleries are participating in that area. We'll have DJ Bryce Nice on a stage performing throughout the night. Cocktails and cuisine, we have Nirvana Restaurant, 7 on Fulton, Lucy's, Crepes a la Carte, St. Lawrence, Signature Cocktail, created by Christine Nielsen of the Windsor Court Hotel. That's a Bombay Sapphire Gable meets Gaga. That's her special creation for the night. And a few years ago, we created Artmosphere, and that's a one-night-only interactive art installation on the street. So you can hit all the galleries, but while you're on the street, you'll see some art, too. This year, a group called Cinema Reset is creating a video and performance art installation with Blake Berticelli and video artist Nina Schwanza. And it's still a bit under wraps, but I know that if you decide to check that out, you will receive a popsicle.
A popsicle?
That's all I got for you. You have to come see it.
As you cool off with popsicles on the street, the air-cooled CAC has numerous exhibits to excite your senses.
We have a big one that's a nationally touring exhibition called Where Do We Migrate To? And that features artists that explore political and psychological issues around the migration experience and experiences of displacement, which sort of came to us a thread way back around Katrina. And we thought that might be something appropriate to bring to New Orleans audiences. We also have exhibitions by Cinema Reset, the same guys I mentioned that will be out on the street on Julia are doing an exhibition on some flat panel monitors at the CAC. We have a sculpture by Yaya artist Ron Theron Ratliff called Revolve. Ben Diller, who's an instructor at SLU, has done an installation called Rooted. We have works from our summer camp kids called Time Traveling Tales. And finally, we have the second round of our Expose Windows, which are installations in the Joseph Street windows. So these can be seen day and night from the exterior of the building. And that's by a group of artists named Milagros.
And that's not all. The CAC is expanding the Saturday stroll to include activities over a four-day period.
Thursday, the 4th, with the New Orleans Film Society, we're partnering to bring a film by Chantal Ackerman, From the Other Side. And on Friday the 5th, we've partnered with the National Performance Network to do a performance art piece by Thaddeus Philip called 17 Border Crossings. And then on Sunday the 7th, we have a curator walkthrough at 11 a.m. for Where Do We Migrate To?, followed by a reading and a book signing with Constance Adler from My Bayou, which is her memoir of life along Bayou St. John. And all of these programs I just mentioned thematically tie into that sense of place, sense of belonging we mentioned with the big exhibition opening Saturday night.
All of these events are free.
We're very pleased to say that starting with Art for Art's Sake weekend, we are offering free gallery admission. Every day we're open, which is 6 days a week, to Louisiana residents.
Art for Art's Sake kicks off Saturday, October 6th, with citywide art openings. Extended offerings at the Contemporary Arts Center begin Thursday, October 4th. For a complete list of activities and participating galleries, check the website cacno.org.
¶¶
very special visitor is creating excitement in a local classroom. Emmy award-winning actress Alfre Woodard is dropping in to teach her craft to students at the Baptiste Cultural Arts Academy in New Orleans. Before meeting the pre-kindergarten and kindergarten students, she sat in an arts classroom with WWNO's Eileen Fleming to discuss her history with New Orleans, how she got involved in the Turnaround Arts Program, and how she plans to teach children whose ages range from kindergarten through the eighth grade.
First of all, what's your history been in New Orleans? What's your experience with the city of New Orleans?
Probably 25 years ago, I started to come here. I shot my first television movie here. And once I came to that, I started to come to Jazz Fest. Even before the tax incentive for film, occasionally there was a film here and I would end up here. And so in the past 3 years, I've shot a television series here. It was Memphis Beach. So I would say about 4.5 months out of the year living. So that's when it got good.
What part of the city did you live in and what did you do on your off time?
Listen to music. Eat. I lived on the edge of the quarter towards the Marigny both times. What I loved about living in New Orleans, especially in that area where you're just walking all the time, is that I was in a neighborhood. I knew my neighbors because I'm in L.A. L.A. is like a lot of little towns just chained together. New York, when I'm there, it's a village, but everybody pretends they don't see each other. But New Orleans, it's like real civilized life, the way I think, you know, human beings were meant to live.
So tell me about how you got involved in the president's program.
I was very involved in the president's first campaign from day one. Having a candidate for higher office really talk about education. As I went around, I would hear people talking. It was the main concern, besides health care, was viable education for kids, and especially public schools. The public schools is what made this country a superpower. It was one of the first institutions founding the Republic. So everybody knows that it's a great idea for a person to have arts in their lives, and arts education transforms lives, whether you are a pilot, you know, a fighter pilot, or, you know, an attorney, whatever you're doing, it actually ignites your innovation. The data was there, but no one had ever put it together, and so we have a really great report that people, whenever they want the numbers of what it does to the math scores, to the science scores, what it does in terms of graduation. So once we did that, we said, okay, the next year, well, what are we going to do with that? And so that's where the idea for the Turnaround Arts Initiative came. And I quickly said, well, let me see the list. When, you know, it was hard because it was everybody wanted to be one of those turnaround schools because there are thousands of schools in the country that are in very delicate position. And so as soon as I saw, I got the list first and I saw Baptiste and I went, oh, I got Baptiste.
What do you do with the little kindergarten children and what do you do with a fourth grader? Do you have any ideas on what you want to share?
I think it's always a good idea to come in, say hi, meet everybody, say who you are. I have to see who they are so I can come to them because I want them to walk away with something useful for them specifically rather than what I want to do. But so, I mean, just simple things with the youngest ones, you know, maybe you've got a half an hour of attention span and they have to be moving around. So, you know, it'll be one of those 30 minutes where it's all no holes barred. They can walk around and do what they want. But I think I'm going to see who they are, getting them to not stop playing because the younger you are, your mind is already bouncing and making those connections. You know, you have flights of imagination. So try just feeling who they are and maybe getting them to talk out loud. Just slowly getting the trust that it's okay to talk out loud, to imagine. And mainly, probably right around the, you know, third through five, where a little self-consciousness starts to slip in, getting them to stand up, say their name, declare themselves, look at people, and not be self-conscious. You know, tell me a story, starting with, I remember. The older ones, it might be, tell us a joke. But it's mainly to get them up and talking and speaking. And also, as an audience, learning how to be supportive when somebody gets up. Eventually, I want to do poetry with them, things that they choose. I think one of the things about acting that makes a good actor is listening, responding, but absolutely honesty, with no top spin. And I think that's a thing that actually breeds a good citizen, a good neighbor as well. Being an actor is not covered in any of the 5,000 glossy magazines. It's not covered on a red carpet. It's not covered on those yakky talk shows. Being an actor is being a storyteller. You know, you passed on tradition. And so there's all digital cameras and lights and all this now, but that's essentially still what we're doing. So to do that, you have to know people. You have to care about people. You have to listen. You have to be with them. And I mean, that's why I'm at Batiste, is because art, which I think is spiritual, you're helping to channel that in a community of people. And I think that's what makes people great teachers. That's what makes people great leaders. That's what makes people incredible bakers, inventors, all the things that we do. I want to be here. I want to be turned around as well.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
WWNO's Eileen Fleming talking with actress Alfre Woodard.
Good morning, everybody.
Ms. Woodard is among seven artists assigned to schools nationwide through the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. A local jazz band with a half-century legacy is celebrating a golden anniversary. NPR's David Green and Steve Inskeep pick up the story.
That's the sound of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, named for the jazz house in the French Quarter where they play. To mark 50 years, the New Orleans group is releasing two albums.
After Hurricane Katrina, Preservation Hall was closed. It's open again now, but the band pays tribute to those struggles on St. Peter and 57th Street. The album is a recording of a performance at Carnegie Hall featuring guests like the rapper Yacine Bey.
Say, man, who pushed the marshes back? Where the hurricane shelter and the road is at? It ain't my fault. Say, from the broken level wall to the Gulf of Mexico. Something gone wrong and somebody fall. Ain't my fault.
The other release from the band is a four-disc anthology. There's music recorded from the 1960s through the 1980s, and some of those tracks were salvaged from a flooded studio in the days after Hurricane Katrina.
Happy golden anniversary to the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. And speaking of recordings, have you ever thought about recording your voice to vinyl? Well, a unique opportunity to do just that presents itself as a virtual record store opens in conjunction with Art for Art's Sake.
A wonderful project that's really going to blow the socks off of New Orleans.
Warehouse Arts District Gallery owner Jonathan Ferrara is talking about the internationally acclaimed multimedia installation, Never Records.
Never Records is exactly that. It's a multimedia installation project by an artist named Ted Reeder, who's from New York. And the exhibition, installation, art project, music collaborative, community project, kind of all rolled together, is at its heart a mock record store that inside of that record store, live recordings are made and cut straight to vinyl on a vinyl record lathe. So it's a very scientific process, but it's also a collaborative process where pretty much anyone can come in and sign up, musicians, actors, reading monologues, And they come in and schedule a performance slot to be recorded. And Ted, over a three-hour period, cuts one track to vinyl. And that piece of vinyl, one is given to the performer and one goes into the archives of Never Records and becomes the record store. So all of the records in the record store have been recorded in Never Records locations when he's done this in various cities across the world, in Lisbon, Portugal, London, England, Liverpool, England, Derry, Ireland.
New Orleans is Never Records' first stop in the United States. A proud moment for Ferrara, who has been working for 2 years to get the project to the Crescent City. It's an opportunity to create a 2012 audio portrait of New Orleans to be shared around the world. Kinda neat as you step into an art installation and become a part of the art.
The project is an art installation at heart that is a record store that you can walk into, listen to music that has been recorded in other cities, and also watch as recordings are taking place of New Orleans artists and musicians at the exact same time as it's being cut to vinyl. So you're inside of an art and music installation, and what better place to have that than New Orleans?
And you don't have to be musically inclined. You can record anything you want. I asked Ferrara, how did Ted Reederer come up with the idea for this project?
The main goal of Never Records is really to bring people together around the concept of a record store and have it be a kind of a life-changing experience. And why I say that is because the real inspiration for Never Records was when artist Ted Reederer was 16 years old, his mother went into the hospital, and instead of becoming, as he likes to say it, instead of becoming a derelict, he found music, and music became his church, and the record store became the place where he would commune with other people of like-mindedness. Music and a record store changed his life, and he hopes that music and a record store could possibly change other people's lives.
Ferrara says the artist hopes the project will help to uplift and bring our community together. You never know who you may rub elbows with as you step inside this virtual record store. The exhibit, Never Records, opens in conjunction with Art for Art's Sake Saturday, October 6th from 6 to 9 p.m., with an after-party until 11 p.m. at Jonathan Ferrara's former gallery location, 841 Carondelet Street. Ted Reederer's Never Records runs through November 4th. Something extra for you in our Lanyap Corner. Renowned jazz pianist and patriarch of UNO's Jazz Studies program, Ellis Marcellus will kick off the fall season of Jazz at the Sandbar. Now in its 22nd season, Jazz at the Sandbar returns to the Cove, which received a $4.7 million post-Katrina renovation last December. The Cove is located on Founders Road on the University of New Orleans campus. Marcellus performs tomorrow night, Wednesday, October 3rd, 7 p.m. The Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra presents Here to Stay, the Gershwin Experience, with music and lyrics by George and Ira Gershwin. Leading Gershwin interpreter, pianist Kevin Cole, and Grammy Award-winning soprano Sylvia McNair will perform with the LPO in this multimedia concert of love songs and masterworks, with photos from the Gershwin family archives and rare video clips. Saturday, October 6th, 8 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. Thank you. the Louisiana Children's Museum is preparing to open a new display centered on the cuisine of the Bayou State. The exhibit in the redesigned Louisiana Hospitality Foundation Kids Cafe is set to formally open October 5th. It includes the works of local artists focusing on good nutrition for young people. The museum is located in the Warehouse Arts District at 429 Julia Street. Also on October 5th, the Stage Door Canteen at the National World War II Museum opens a new original show, Jump, Jive, and Wail, the music of Louis Prima, featuring a cast of 10 who will perform timeless Prima classics such as Sing, 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 Just a Gigolo, and Basin Street Blues. More info at stagedoorcanteen.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.